Children's Church. God bless our kids. God bless our teachers. Amen. Praise God. Those of us that are left in the sanctuary, we're going to focus on Acts chapter 27, verses 30 through 33. Acts 27, 30 through 33. Praise the Lord. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, he said this, "Except these abide in the ship." If they don't stay with the ship, they're not going to be saved. That's what he said. And then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, that is the lifeboat, and they let it fall off. They just let it go. Their only alternative, they let go. And for many, many years, we have, as pastors and preachers and teachers and evangelists and prophets, and we have been referring to the church as the old ship of Zion. Amen. Born in the fire. Smoke won't do. Hallelujah. And so we're going to talk about the church tonight. While day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, "This day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing." Praise God. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 26. Let's consider one another. In other words, he's saying, let's be considerate to one another. And to provoke unto love and to good works. If we're going to provoke somebody, don't provoke them to be mad. Provoke them to love and to do good works. Not forsaking, that means not to forget the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Amen. The only sacrifice, the only thing that we can possibly do for sin is to go back and do our first works, and that is repentance. What do you do with, what is repentance? That's a turnabout. Amen. It's mental, physical, and spiritual. Praise the Lord. You don't just come and ask the Lord to forgive you and continue in sin. We forsake sin. It's a turnabout. It's about face. It's a different way. It's a different direction. Amen. I could take in the Old Testament and teach a whole Bible study tonight on how they came in one door and left out the other one, simply because they were trying to teach the New Testament repentance. You come in one way and you leave another when you repent. And you say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm struggling against." No, I don't. But as long as you're struggling against it, you're going to win. Because this preacher's not talking about a 30-minute sitcom, and sometimes things don't come that easy. Amen. And so, but they come. Deliverance comes if we continue to seek it. But what this scripture is referring to is the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's amazing how many churches are going to one little service a week, and they're so excited and proud of it, they don't know what to do with themselves. There are some churches that shut down completely for summertime and then open again in the fall. Catering to the flesh and catering to worldly affection. The Bible said so much the more. In other words, we ought to be having more church because we're in the last days. Praise God. And please don't go out saying that I said something about this church or I said something about that church, because I didn't. This is the church I pastor. And if we do anything about our services, we will have more. Amen. And so I want to talk about the world's last chance. The world's last chance. Praise God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Master, we love you. We adore you. We praise you. And we worship you. We love you. We exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, your will be done tonight as we endeavor to walk in the Holy Ghost. Shed a word to us tonight that will change us, Lord, for eternity's sake. In Jesus' name, and everybody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. Praise God. Appreciate that, Brother Tyre. Every now and then I have to look up to make sure I got my title right. Praise God. But this is Bible study night. And I don't want to sneak up and there toward the end of the very message and give you the essence of what I want to talk about. So I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about, and then we're going to talk about it. And that is, of course, the church of the living God. The church is the world's last chance. Praise God. And so while there are many, many others that are taking the church lightly, we are the people that take the church very seriously, and for many reasons. And so we want to talk about that hope for the world that we live in a little bit tonight, and that is the church of the living God. She was born in the fire, and she has stood the test of time. And so, having proven herself, the church, that is, we need the influence of this house. How many people can you think of that need the influence of what happened around here Sunday? How many lives do you feel would have been changed had they been seated here Sunday? The world needs the influence of this house. Amen. I'm just Holy Ghost proud right now. I guess I ought to say these houses. Praise God, because God's being so good to us. Amen. But there is something to be said with regard to staying, as Paul said, to staying with the ship. Praise God. Stay with the church. Amen. So whatever life deals out, we can take it because we are a part of the church. Whatever obstacles there are, we can handle it because we are with the church. Amen. The devil can't break it. Whatever you are determined to do for the glory of God, there is nothing that the adversary can do about it. Amen. I was privileged to spend just a little time with my pastor yesterday, and we were just casually fellowshipping, and he told me of a sermon that he was thinking about, and he had one in the boiler, you know, and putting one together in his mind, and he talked about how that once you're saved, the devil just does not give up on trying to make you lost again. Or those of you that were born in the church and received the Holy Ghost early, the devil doesn't give up on trying to get you out there in the world. And he said, what I'm thinking is that we should not give up on, we should never give up on serving the Lord. Amen. We should fight the fight of faith. And a scripture came to me, and I shared it with him. And I said, the scripture said the Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost. I said, the devil came to seek and destroy that which was found. He said, you're right. That's part of it right there. And it's true. Amen. The Lord came to save. The devil's here to see if he can cause someone to be lost. Amen. And so what do we do about that? Amen. The only thing we can do, stick with the church of the living God. Stick with our brothers and our sisters. Stick with the message. Stick with the truth. Stick with the anointing. Stick with the power and the very presence of God that falls in this place every week, week in and week out. Amen. How can we forsake that? How can we walk away from that and let that go? Amen. It's a last day spirit that calls us and is tempting us to ditch the church. Amen. Number one, this is the only thing standing that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, when the Bible talks like that, we need to look into that and be a part of that. If there's something that the gates of hell cannot destroy, we need to attach ourselves to that. What was he referring to when he said that? Somebody help me. The church. And so if the church is not going to be destroyed, then I'm not going to be destroyed if I stay with the church. Praise God. Amen. People that can get their little feelings hurt and all of this business and cause you to completely shut down, I'm just simply saying, it wasn't as deep as it should have been to start with. And the Lord allowed that to happen for you to see how shallow it was so you could do something about it. Not leave the church. I have never heard the voice of God or read it in the Word of God where the Lord said, if they hurt your feelings, you get out of there. That's not fair. If anybody deserved to turn his back on humanity, it was Jesus Christ himself when he was crucified without a reason by the church. Amen. And so we need to understand that the church gives new life. It gives new opportunity. And it gives new privilege and chance. Praise God. Amen. It's got to be the church has got to be here for the next generation. Thank God for my opportunity, and I praise God for my chance. Amen. But it's got to be here for that next generation. We watch our children play, and we watch our children's children play now. Amen. And if I live to see it, I want to see my children's children play. Praise God. And don't call them great grandparents for nothing. Amen. They survived this long? That is great. And so, we don't want to treat it as if, you know, it's disposable, that it was just for us, and when we're finished, just throw it away. No. Amen. We need to preserve this for the next generation. Praise God. And so, it's got to be here. Hallelujah. We can't lose our message. We cannot lose our identity. We can't lose our power. We certainly cannot lose our praise. And most importantly, we cannot lose our purpose. Amen. Praise God. We're about revival, evangelism. We're about church growth. And we are all about the preservation of holiness. Amen. Praise God. So since the church is predestined, the church is going to make it, then let's every one of us get in this house. Let's get in this house. Some of you, I see that spark of soul winning in your eyes. Let me just tell you this. This is me speaking. Others may have their opinion, but they have a right to be wrong. I personally feel that a soul winner is greater than a prophet. A soul winner is greater than a teacher. A soul winner is greater than a preacher and a pastor. I'll leave that to for you to chew on. Amen. It isn't the lights that shine on my forehead tonight that save the lost. It's a person with a passion for the lost. It's an individual that dreams of telling somebody about this truth and leading them to Jesus Christ. It's uneducated people. It's educated people. It's people not so perfect. It's people that are perfect. It's individuals that have the same dream and the same vision of soul winning that put soul winners on the same level and causes them to be an influence to the lost and bring them through. I've heard people preach sermons and nobody come to God. I've heard people teach and nobody come to God. I've heard people prophesy great things but no great things really happen. But I've seen soul winners with a dream and a vision and a passion. I have seen people follow them to Jesus over and over and over and over. And my dream is for me to be just like them. You say, well, but you're a pastor. Yeah, that wasn't my calling. He called me to do that. And I take that with honor. And I want to treat that with dignity and character. Amen. But my first passion is being a soul winner. I want to be a soul winner. Because if you really feel like the church is the world's last chance, what are we doing about it? Praise God. Amen. So it's predestined. Number two, the church is on its way home. Listen, the prodigal son left home. Notice the family didn't go with him. Daddy didn't go with him. But when he came back home, it was just like it was when he left. I like that. Praise God. So I don't want anybody to ever get upset because the church doesn't compromise with you and follow somebody into the world. Somebody's got to be minding the store when you get ready to come back. Somebody's got to prepare to kill the fatted calf. And when they come back and we celebrate, don't want anybody that was already here to get jealous. Because every promise the Lord has, He's given to you. And you don't have to face some of the circumstances that that individual went through before they came back home. Amen? And so we all rejoice with one another as we make our journey home from the church. Amen. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Bible says, this is pretty interesting, and I was around several preachers yesterday, and so discussions went everywhere in the Bible. And something very unique, you've heard me mention the name T.W. Barnes. T.W. Barnes was just an absolute prophet of God. He was. And it was just some of the miracles that took place in his ministries are just phenomenal, to say the least. I never had the privilege of shaking his hand or speaking to him personally, but I did speak to him on the phone. I was urged to call him on the phone. I was sitting in my living room battling cancer. And I just felt, whether it was God or my conscience, I really can't say. I'd like to say it was God. And I called T.W. Barnes. And as busy as he is with everybody in the world calling him with prayer requests and what have you, he immediately picked up the phone. And then I got so nervous I couldn't hardly speak. And I said, Brother Barnes, you don't know me, but I'm Kenny Marshburn. I pastor Landmark in Lexington, North Carolina. And he's already 80-something years old at that time. And he said, pleased to meet you, Brother Marshburn. And I said, Brother Barnes, I won't hold you long, but this is my dilemma, and I explained everything, and he stopped me. He said, Brother Marshburn, he said, what you're going through is not unto death. And something just washed over me like, I can do. I can go through anything right now, Brother Billy. Whatever comes is going to come, but I know I'm not going to die. Carson was 16. Cody was about 14. And they were just at that age that they needed a daddy. Amen. And my wife, she needed her husband. And so I was just like, I'm willing to die, but I just don't want to die right now. and so he said, it is not unto death. Praise God. Amen. Now, when someone speaks a word like that to you and you feel it wash all over you, you begin to thank God for something. And you know what that is? It's the church. Because without the church, I never would have gotten that word. Without the church, I never would have heard of T.W. Barnes. Without the church, you see, because this, we're in this together. It is a team thing. It is a unified effort. There are apostolics all over the world. The call to talk to speak to minister to you, and all of this. Amen. Why don't we just raise our hands? I know it's Bible study, and I apologize, but could we raise our hands and thank God for the church tonight? Could we vocalize it with our words? My, 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 my. Praise Him for the church. Praise Him for the church. The church, the church, the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the prodigal son left home. He came back. And the Bible says, it lets us know that no one went with him, but they waited for him to come home. Indicating that you may leave, but when you come back, it's going to be the same as it was. Jesus Christ is same yesterday, today, and forever. My mother is the church. I was born again, but this church raised me. The church of the living God raised me. Does the Bible not speak of babes in Christ? And then it talks about being weaned from the milk. Why are you still drinking milk when you need meat? Right? Nurtured, grown, raised, where? In the church. This is your family sitting here with you. Amen. These are your brothers and your sisters. That's why they treat you so awful sometimes. You can get by with that in family. That's why I tell you, the brethren, I said, don't borrow anything or let anybody borrow anything that they cannot bring back damaged. Because your brother will treat you three ways: wide, deep, and frequent. Do not do business with them unless you expect to lose. Because we're family. Nobody do you like family. I'm kind of joking. Kind of. Just don't open those doors for things like that to happen, because it's the devil's big business to turn you against me and me against you and us against us and those against those and them against them. I had to tell a man 2 weeks ago, I said, I want you to come and be my guest for Easter. He's a backslider. I said, I want you to come be my guest for Easter. He said, I don't know. So-and-so is going to. I said, look, the church is getting so big. You just sit on the other side. You won't even see them. Amen. Hey, we don't have to hug and kiss and all of that and everything, but we can love one another from a distance. And besides that, from a distance, you look like you've lost weight. Everybody's about that. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, what do we do, Pat? You do what you got to do to make it work, because this is the church. This is the last chance. This is the last opportunity. This is the last place. This is the last resort. This is where we found it. This is where we keep it. This is where we preserve it. This is where we make it work. If you have to say you're sorry when it wasn't even your fault, do it anyhow, because this is the church. We've got to make this work. Praise God. Amen. And so, you know, He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Amen. And that first church was the Alpha, but we're going to have a mega church. Amen. This is the last day church. Lord Jesus, I got a ton of notes. I'll hurry. But the church is the last chance. Amen. Number three, the church is the last chance. It's the light in the night. It's the city of refuge. It's the King's palace on this earth. The church is my rite of passage to the throne of God. I was broken at the church. Then I was fixed and repaired at the church at the very same time. When the eastern sky peels back like a tin can and the Lord bids us to come home, He's not coming after just anybody. He's coming after the... Amen. If you want in the kingdom, get in the church. Let me tell you what the church is not. Amen. Don't you get upset at me. Amen. But I want to give you the negative and the positive. The church is not a flea market. Things aren't going cheap around here. Amen. Salvation is free, but it is not cheap. Amen. Hallelujah. The church is not a social club, and it's not a quick fix, then quit coming center. We socialize, we fellowship, but that's not what the church is about. Praise God. It's where the kingdom gives new birth, and it's where children are nursed at her side. Before we go off, how the church is so insignificant and not needed, let me tell you right now that it's in the church where you find excess to success. I mean, you'll find more success than you need in the church. Proverbs 11:25 said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. Don't get nervous. It's talking about your soul. Amen. Many of us have access to success. I know that. The Lord promised it to the liberal soul. The liberal soul is in church way more than the average Sunday special. Amen. We don't have to worry about becoming too fat. Because the Bible says that we can lay aside every weight that doth hinder us. Amen. So you don't have to worry about that. Hebrews 12:1, right here in the church, you can lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you. Where else can you get that? The church is also one of the most dangerous places, especially in great apostolic revival. You can look at Ananias and Sapphira, where they lied to the man of God, and Jerusalem was in such a red-hot revival until the Lord said, I can't let this hinder the move of God. And so, one after the other, they dropped dead right in the presence of God. And you say, Pastor, boy, wouldn't we have revival if people would start dropping dead that didn't keep their promises to God? Well, they do every day. They just don't breathe their last breath. They can sit there unmoved when everybody else is worshiping. They haven't spoken in tongues in over a year or so. Amen. There's no response to praise. There's no prayer room activity. There's no pre-service prayer. I'm not saying you are dead and lifeless. Don't get upset and quit the church. Would you please let my words challenge you to be a better child of God and get in this house like you have never been in this house. In a dilemma, call on the name of Jesus. Don't respond negative, but call on the name of Jesus. In a financial crunch, don't get upset at God. Call on the name of our God, and He will see you through. The obstacles that we face and that we go through are challenges sometimes, and then sometimes they are tests, and then sometimes they are revelations to reveal to us what page spiritually that we are really on. Amen. You will find out that as long as things are going good, that you're all right. But when they turn bad, then you can get a sour attitude. The Lord wanted you to know just how shallow this relationship with Him really is. So that not that you can storm out of here and never come back or find something that compromises the message so you can be comfortable, but it is something so that you can make it deeper and wider and longer and higher. Your relationship with God in these last days is predicated on how dedicated you are to the church of the living God. Amen. And I'll be honest with you right now. I'm not fixing anything. I'm not trying to repair something that's broken. Did you see the crowd in here Sunday? Look at the crowd in here tonight. And it's Tuesday night. You know, I hear our distant cousins preaching on radio all the time. Well, Wednesday night, you're only going to have a little handful. But Sunday, that's when everybody gets, hey, you need to visit Landmark. This is not a little handful. Amen. Amen. People are responding to the Word, and they're responding to their responsibility to the church. That's when I like to talk about things like that, when it's going good. And it's going good right now. Amen. Praise God. And so people that can ridicule the church are people that have never been broken down to the place that God is all that matters. There were others that needed to hear that, but alternatives kept them from the church tonight. But somebody tell them that the Lord knows how to curb worldly appetites and bad attitudes. Best we do that ourselves right here at the altar inside the church. When it comes to discipline and correction, in many cases, it's better for mama to take care of it than it is for daddy. So you don't want mama to say, when your daddy gets home, he's going to take care of you. You don't want the church constantly saying, when your daddy comes, he's going to take care of you. Just let the church take care of it before daddy gets here. So everything will be fine. It's crazy some of the thoughts your pastor has when he talks about things. I remember Sid McMahon in Houston, Texas. He was one of my great friends. I worked with him. And we were playing some kind of board game. He told me this story. And he had two little kids. He told them, he said, when I promised my kids a spanking, they knew when they got home they were going to get it. If I promised it to them, I gave it to them. And so sure enough, that night at church, they were cutting up. And he said, I promised them, when we get home, daddy's going to take care of you, buddy. And he said, as soon as we got home, they went in their bedroom and knelt beside their bed, and they were having prayer meeting. I mean, crying out to God. I mean, saying words that were inaudible to man, that only God could understand, and just pouring it out to the Lord. Hoping to get by and not get a spanking. Amen. Kind of like Sister Bristol was the other night, my little granddaughter. She was promised a spanking when she got home. And the mailbox, from the mailbox to their apartment is nowhere. And so she fell in a dead sleep in the back seat between the mailbox and their apartment. She was like, they took a picture of it and sent it to us. And we're all laughing. She was faking. Whatever our issues are, whatever we may be going through, it can be taken care of right here in the church. be an altar of repentance and prayer and seeking God, whether it be running the aisles or leaping for joy, or weeping and crying and praying laying hands on somebody and praying with our friends and family and loved ones. Whatever the mood is, whatever the atmosphere is, just flowing with it as the Holy Ghost moves and the Spirit stirs. Getting used to that, accustomed to that, acclimated to that, and then making your mind up to stick with that. And eventually you'll be able to look back and say, I've been in this thing for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And where is time gone? Because I've been right here at the church of the living God. Because the church is the world's last chance. Let's stand together. There's nothing more determined than a made-up mind. And I made up my mind a long time ago. Tough times, hard times, rough times, weak times, strong times, confused times, financial times, good finance times. All those times have come and gone. They'll come and go again. I told the Lord, if you want me to stop going to the church and if you want me to stop praising you, if you want me to stop being in the prayer room, if you want me to stop being here on Saturday night, or if you want me to, you're going to have to kill me. Because I've got my mind made up. I'm determined. And that's all it takes. Let's close our eyes and pray together. Jesus, I want to thank you for the church triumphant. I want to praise you and honor you for the church of the living God. And I ask you tonight, Lord, to touch every heart, every soul, and every individual in this building tonight with a deep embedded love and desire to be a part of the church in Jesus' name for these last days. Amen and amen. God richly bless you. Thank you so much for being in the house of God tonight. Go with God and let God go with you and be blessed in Jesus' name.